For the past few weeks, in the month of July, we have been dealing with building the character of Christ. God wants to work on our character. And one thing that we have been known to say, or I'm sure we know now, is God is not interested in our comfort alone. God is interested in building our character. God is not interested in how comfortable we are, but he knows that our character is, it needs to be like Christ. So the interest of God in our life is mostly our character. So we've known that, and we know that God wants to work on our character. So we've started looking at it from the beginning of this month. We started with thinking out of the box. We went on to look at how to reinvent ourselves. We went on to seeking and seeing the opportunities, the spiritual opportunities. And we talked about, you know, being able to pray for people. We talked about being able to take spiritual risk. We talked about being able to walk through things with people. And we talked about being able to pay the price, you know, no matter what it costs us, as long as it's for God, we should be able to pay the price. And last week we talked about, we examined building in us the character of prayer. We looked at the, in this way, we looked at it, remain online. It's building the consistent character of prayer that we talked about last week. And today we'll just continue in that same line of remaining online. We read the book of Luke chapter 11 from verse 5 to 13. And what we saw there, I will just go through that illustration. Jesus gave this illustration. Imagine a friend goes to a friend in the middle of the night and says, "Oh, hello, my friend. Knock, knock. Please, I would need some food for a friend who has just come from a journey." You know, it was unexpected. Yes, we know. But the friend said, "Oh, why are you bothering me? The door is locked. My family is in bed and I'm in bed also." Well, it's just funny that how would somebody be in bed that is talking? I'm sure the person has come down to the door. But yeah, it's just a funny story that he is answering the knock and saying, "Sorry, I'm in bed." And he's actually answering. So, but he says, "I'm in bed and my family is in bed." It's like an exaggeration there. Like, you know, that do you expect me to come up now and give you something to for you, your friend? But listen, because of your shameless impudence, even though it is the middle of the night, your friend will get up out of bed and give you all that you need. Because of your consistent request, he will not give you what you need because you've just knocked once or twice, but because you've continued to persist, you've remained at his door. That is the main reason, the shameless, that's why the Bible says that. But listen, because of your shameless impudence, because of your continuous request, because of your continuity, because of your persistence, your friend will give you everything you need. If you ask him for more than bread, he will give it to you. If you say, "Oh, can you give me wine? Can you give me water?" He will give you everything you need because of your continuous impudence, because of continuous request. I read on. He said, even though in the middle of the night, your friend will give you, he will get up from the bed and give you all you need. So it is with your heavenly Father. When you pray, you ask, you will receive. Seek and you will discover. Knock on the door and it will be open to you. Every persistent person will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. He said, even you, that you are not very kind. If your child asks you for something, will you give them something else? If he asks you for bread, will you give them snake? You know, God, Jesus is trying to paint that picture that as bad as we can be as humans, you will still give to your child what they have asked for in the best of way. How much more your heavenly Father? How much more your heavenly Father? He said, if imperfect parents know how lovingly to take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will your perfect heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask for him? One thing you need to know is that there is we are all children of God. There is no one that is a parent of God here. You can be parents today, but we are all children of God. We are all children. So God is ready to give us the perfect fullness of the Holy Spirit. Anything we ask, he is willing to give to us. I've noticed, I'll just give it this kind of illustration. I've noticed that when some people call you at times and say you are driving, for example, let's give that example, and the name doesn't come through the Bluetooth, because most of the cars don't bring the name of the person on your phone, and you pick on the phone while you're driving. via the arms free. Hello? One thing I explained is that the person expects you to know who is speaking immediately. I've just found it a bit odd. At times, people expect you to recognize them immediately and just know that it's me. Hello, who is speaking? You find out it's me. Sorry, I don't know who is speaking. Who is speaking? Even though you ought to know, but at times you don't know. So people prefer you to just know them by their voice. But one thing I found out is you can actually pick some people's voice immediately like that. It is so understandable that your knowledge of a person, your depth of knowledge of a person, determines your level of conversation, your level of relationship. That the fact that someone can speak can bring forth that, oh, I know who's speaking, even without seeing the person's face or without seeing the person's name on your phone. It is because you have spent time. It is the depth of relationship that allows you to be able to know who is speaking. It is the depth of knowledge. The nature we exhibit is dependent on the, which is, what I mean there is that the nature we exhibit to people, how we come across to people, how we converse with people, is dependent on the level of relationship we have with people. If you have a surface relationship with someone, just eye-eye relationship, I don't expect you to discuss with such a person the depth of your family. No. But when you have someone that is deep with you, someone that you can share the depth of your heart with, you can't. It is because of the relationship that you have shared with that person. It's the same thing that I think we share with God. That how much you know God definitely paints or points to how everything in your life is shaped. Your depth of knowledge of the God you serve paints a picture. I'll just quote someone. I'll quote A.W. Tozer. He says that, What comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. You see, our concept of God is not dependent on our feeling of God. God is a multidimensional God, is a God of variety. God remains real. We cannot, because of the feelings that we have, think that God is like this. No. The real person, the real concept of God is multidimensional, is multifaceted, is so big and gracious. Knowing who he really is defines our attitude and our character of wanting to pray, which if we grow in wanting to pray, we become, you know, we begin to just want having to pray. Your depth of knowing God defines how your attitude of prayer would be. If you think that God is a very wicked God, I'm sure you will not want to pray to a wicked God. If you think God is a dictator, I'm sure you will not want to pray. You think prayer is like a burden. So not knowing God affects the way we communicate with him in prayer. Not knowing the God that we communicate with makes our prayer life pointless, passionless, and powerless. And when I mean passionless, I mean it's not heartfelt. Last week we said that the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man, it's not just how long we spend in prayer, it's the heartfelt. And we gave ourselves an assignment last week that can we just pray for 5 minutes every day in the center, 5 minutes in the morning, afternoon, evening, and the night, so that we can accumulate that 20, just an heartfelt prayer. Heartfelt. Now, to move away from this pointless, passionless, and powerless prayer life, and move to a passionate, powerful, and purposeful prayer life, we need to know the God we serve, the personality of the God we serve. For you to know that prayer is a delight and not a duty, you need to have a depth of knowledge of God's goodness. I feel, and I am looking at us today, that we need to understand the depth of God's goodness. For us to know that every time we pray, he answers. And I mean, every prayer we pray, God answers. We will come to it later, but every prayer we pray, God answers. But the depth of our knowledge of God's goodness determines our own attitude and character to prayer. If you think God is a bad God and a wicked God, I'm sure prayer will become a burden to us. But the moment you know God is a good God. So let's look at some things that God's character of goodness actually implies in our life. God's character of goodness means that His plans for us are always good. God's character of goodness. God's character of goodness. It means His character of goodness. And I mean our person, our attitude to prayer is dependent on our knowledge of God's goodness. Because God's goodness means that His plans for us are good. I would like to refer us back to the book of Jeremiah 29, which is a very popular verse. Verse 11. And I'll read it from here. You will find out something. And you will see the correlation between goodness, the good that God gives to us, and the plan and prayer of our life, for our lives. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good, number one, not of disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Look at verse 12. It says something there. In those days when you pray, what did he say? I will listen. I'll read it again. Verse 11. For I know, for God, I am that I am, know the plans he has for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, he said what? I will listen. In those days you pray, I will listen. God's plans for us are revealed through our prayer. The depth of our prayer reveals the plans of God for our life. Prayer reveals God's pre-planned blessings for our lives. The promise of God is God is not saying that everything will be good. No, we need to be careful. But God's plan for us are good. God is not saying the world is not good. No. The world, everything about this world is not good. The world is a broken world. But God is saying His plans for us, every plan He has for us are what? Are good. There might not be, you might not be in a good place now, but the plan for you from God is what? Is good. And what reveals the plan of God for us is what? Is prayer. God's plan for our life. For you to know the plans, the preordained plans of God for your life, you need to find it in the place of prayer. I'll give us two Bible verses that we can examine together. Maybe that will help broaden our scope on the plans of God that are good for our life. This is another popular one that we know. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. We all know this one. And there's a place I'm going to there, and I would like us to just stay together and let us, you know, be in the spirit together as we listen. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our life. I need to read that again. That is quite powerful there. So, Romans 8:28. So, we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together. Praise the Lord. God just dropped something there. That, did you remember this? That He said, every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. Now, He's talking about every part of God's plan for us is woven together to bring good. To bring good. It's like we bring together the bitter. It's like God is telling us that He's bringing together the bitter into a batter to make us better. God is bringing up in all the bitter of our lives to batter it to make us better. So every bitterness that we are looking, going through, anything that is making our life bitter, God is bringing into a place of mixture, a place of batter to make it better. That's what we're reading in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our life. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. So God is bringing all the bitterness into a place of butter to bring out the better in our life. To bring out the good in our life. Every bitter needs to go into a place of mixture, and God will bring out the things to bring them better. In the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, we'll find out the story of Joseph, understanding that all the evil that was done to him was all meant for good. Genesis 50 verse 20, I'll read from here. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I can save the lives of many people." The intention, initial intention, was for evil, but God brought it out to be good. So God's character of goodness means His plans for us are always good. No matter the pain we might be going through, no matter the downcastedness we might be going through, His plan for us is to bring us always to a good place. His plan for us is to bring us to a good... Let's look at the second one. God's character of goodness allows us to approach Him in confidence. The moment we know that God's character of goodness allows us to access Him to pray and brings about the revelation of His plan, it also helps us to understand that we can approach Him anytime in confidence. Let's look at Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. We'll read verse 10 and 12. Psalm 103 verse 10 and 12. We can access His presence with confidence at any time. You may discipline us for many sins. Be careful there, it is not punished. God doesn't punish us. God doesn't punish, because punishment is about those things in the past, but discipline is to help our future. We need to know the difference. God doesn't punish us. So He may discipline us for many of our sins, but never as much as we really deserve. If God gives us what we deserve, we won't be here. But God gives us what we need. God doesn't give us what we deserve, because what we deserve for our many sins is punishment. But God gave us His Son instead. Now, you may discipline us for as many of our sins, but never as much as we really deserve. Nor do you get even with us. God is not mad against you. God is not mad with you. God is mad about you instead. What does that mean? You know, it's like when you see your wife, or that you are mad about, you know, that sense of belonging, that I love my wife. God is mad about us. He's not mad with us. That's what the Bible is saying, nor does He get even. So God is not trying to get even that, oh, you offended me yesterday, I want to get even with you. God is not trying to get even with us for what we have done. Further down from the sunrise to a sunset, He has removed the guilt from us. The moment you have said, God, I committed this and I'm sorry about it, He has removed it. He cannot even remember it anymore. So in this sense, God has given us what we need, not what we deserve. Yes, sin is our greatest reason to lack confidence. You can lack confidence because you say, oh, I've done this. How can I approach God? But in Psalm 51, you can see that God gave David that still had that mercy, but he approached God's throne with confidence. So God's character of goodness does not push us away. He does what? He welcomes us. Look at the prodigal son. He said, let me go back to my father. At least I will even become a slave. As he was approaching, the Bible says that far away, he saw his son. He went to him. He welcomed him. Before he could even say, can I be your servant? He welcomed him. It's the same thing with us. God is mad about us. He's not mad with us. Let's confess those sins. Let's, even in the midst of rejection, in the midst of pain, let's still learn that God is on our side. Approach God, not because of you. Always remember to approach God because of who He is. He's a good God. God remains good. I am who I am. He is who He is. God, I want to be like you more. Let's learn to approach God, not because of our own deficit and our own incompleteness. Last week we said something. We said, if it is worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. The amount of investment that we invest in worrying, let's try and change it into prayer. Pray to God about everything, about anything. The simple things, the minute things. pray to God about it. I think most of the issue is around people saying that I want to hear God speak to me. And I keep saying that, stop looking for the voice. Start looking for a verse. There's a verse that addresses every situation. Look, it is our incompetence of researching the word of God that will allow us to find the depth of his word. Oh God, speak to me. Did you hear anything? The Bible says in the book of Job chapter 33 verse 14, God speaks. It is us that are not listening. So let us find time to always research deep into the word of God to bring out the gems, those things. God is speaking. The first place God speaks is what? It is his word. I've adopted a new style of prayer now, and I'll just share it with us. How do I pray now? I don't like praying without a Bible verse anymore. Anytime I'm praying, if it is personal prayer, I open a Bible verse, I read where God has led me to read, and I pray with the verse. It's easier because I'm praying with his word. So when I'm even praying without the Bible, at least I have a notepad now where I write some verses. I can bring it out and read from it. But I want to pray in his word. You know, last week we said something. We said, let us learn to write our prayers down. We can write every writing down. Why not your prayer? You can read your prayer to God. You read the Bible. Read your prayer back to him. I've read the Bible. Lord, this is my prayer to you today. I'm praying. We said it's not the amount of time. It is the heartfelt. It is the heartfelt. So let us be able to approach God confidently from now on. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews 4 and see it. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Something very wonderful there. Hopefully it will help us in our day-to-day life of prayer that we are trying to build better in Christ. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says something that, it says, he understands humanity because he was once a human. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way, just as we are, and conquered sin. Now, it's the next part I'm really interested in here now. So now we come freely and boldly, or you can say confidently, to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in time of weakness. Let us go away from here today, approaching the throne of mercy in confidence. Let's learn to approach the throne of mercy in confidence. Now, God's character of goodness puts my good above his own goodness. You might wonder that is heresy. It sounds like heresy that how will a God that is good put my own goodness above his own goodness? If he did not, John 3:16 would never have come to light. For a God that can sacrifice his own son, what can't he give to us? John chapter 10, let's look at it. John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. John 10, 14 and 15. God puts his goodness above our goodness. Let me just say this. It just dropped into my spirit. You might be praying for something and it's not coming the way you thought it would come. But one thing we said is that God answers all prayers. God answers all prayers. It might not be the answer that we are expecting, but God answers our prayers. We'll come to that very shortly, but let's read John 10, 14 and 15, and then we'll press on. God puts his goodness above our goodness above his own goodness. I alone am the good shepherd. I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. Just as my Father knows my heart, and I know my Father's heart, I am ready to give my life for the sheep. How many people can even as I was looking through this, I said, well, maybe now in a country they can give their life for sheep now. But let's be frank about it. Even as a person, if I'm a farmer and I have a sheep, will I really want to give my life for a sheep? I'll prefer to buy another one. But he's saying that he can actually even give his life for a sheep. He can give his life for us. So it means that he puts our goodness above his own goodness. Jesus did not do this because I found out something. This is my own thought, that Jesus didn't die because of the pain that he suffered from the cross. I feel Jesus died from a broken heart because of a broken world. It was so much that he bothered. I'm dying for a broken world, to fix a broken world. And we know that God is in the business of resurrection out of crucifixion. God is in the business of bringing good out of bad. That is the God we serve. That is the God we serve. Let's read Romans 8:32. Just Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. We can actually even start from verse 31. But Romans 8:32 adds something there about God putting his goodness above putting our goodness above his own goodness. Romans 8:32. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Are we in a place that is fixed, that we just feel it's not working? God's goodness is the one that makes it possible and gives us the opportunity to pray. Pray about everything, because God hears every prayer. God's character of goodness does not make him say yes to all our prayers. You might wonder, is this true? God's character of goodness doesn't make him. Okay, let me ask this question from us. Let's just think about it. Is it everything our children ask from us that we can give them? Let's use our relationship, our own relationship, our own children with our Heavenly Father. If a 10-year-old boy comes and say, "Oh, Dad, Mom, I need a car," you will give him one of the other answers and say either it's a no or maybe later. But does that mean that you have not heard him? You have heard him. But you have not given him his expectation yet. But you have heard him. So it means that God hears all our prayers. He said if a mother, a suckling mother, will not neglect it, he said how much more me? So it means that God hears all our prayers. But the answer we are expecting might not be what we are. So God answers us in four ways. God answers us when we have made the wrong request. He tells us, sorry, no, I don't think you know what you're asking. Wrong request. But we are expecting an answer, so we might not be happy about it. Do you know how God answers us again? God answers us with, young man, slow down. Or young woman, slow down. He says, this is a wrong timing. So please slow down. It takes maturity to know that delay is not denial. It takes maturity to know that there is a delay, but God has not denied me. Now, the other way God answers is when we are not right for that thing yet. In a place where we are not right, God is saying, grow up. So God is answering us saying, no, you don't need a car yet. Slow down. You have not done your driving test yet. Pass it until you do. Or, you are still very young. You need to grow up to be 18 years old before you can do your driving test. You get what I'm saying? So it is no when it is a wrong request. It is slow down. I have better plans for you. Slow down. The time will come. Or grow up. Okay, this example just came into my heart. If your child is going into school, you would not buy a 4-year-old uniform for the child. What will you buy for the child? If the child, you will either buy a 6 or a 7-year-old so that they can grow into it. So it means that you are telling your child, grow into my blessing of a new clothes. So I need a new clothes. Nobody buys. Anytime you are collecting a gift for a newborn, you will see that the gift they are bringing is always more than the child. They will never give you a diaper of 0 months. They will either give you 3, 4, 5 ahead, saying that it is time to grow, baby. Keep growing. So when it is not yet time and we are not yet right, God is going to say, grow up. So God at times, you see, we might say we are waiting for God for some things, but maybe God is waiting for us. We might be the one saying, God, I'm waiting upon you. And God is saying, I'm waiting for you to move. Oh, God, I'm not growing in the spirit. But God is saying that I've given you all the tools. Read the Bible. Pray to me. So let us be very careful when we are saying, God, I'm waiting on you. And God is saying, no, I'm waiting on you. So he can answer us in four ways. No, slow down, grow up. Or he can say, everything you have asked me is perfect. And he will say, yes, it's a green light. So God answers all our prayers. God answers all our prayers. Next week, we'll try and examine what do we do between when God answers and when we are waiting. There's always, when there is a period of waiting, what do we as Christians do? What character? Because we have been talking about character building for the past few weeks. So in this sense, we are talking about character building of our character in praying consistently. So God answers all our prayers. His response may not meet our method of acceptance. The acceptance that we are waiting for, the way we want God to show it, might not be what we are expecting. But God answers all our prayers. God is interested in our relationship. He's more interested in the relationship than the physical manifestation of our prayers. He's more interested. This might sound funny, but if God needs to keep you more in his presence, he will keep you more there. Before he now says, okay, let's just use a very general example. God, I want admission into Cambridge. And God wants to give you, but God feels that, so because of Cambridge, you're asking me for this. Okay, I know what to do. I'll keep you more here. Just because of that relationship. God created us for relationship. So he can keep us in a place for relationship, not because of the physical manifestation of that thing. Last week, we said something about an iPhone X and a Nokia 3310. A dead battery in an iPhone X and a fully charged 3310, which one will you take? You will take the one that is working by that time. Because you need to make a call. So you will take the one that has battery charged. You would. I know you like the design of the iPhone X. You'll be like, but this is not working now. So it's the same thing that we are clamoring for physical manifestation, but God is clamoring for a relationship. So let us spend more time. Let us spend more time. He answers all our prayers. If it is worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, let's just round up quickly. The question is, why am I going through pain? What kind of character will I build in a time of pain? But the truth is that you don't learn in a place of comfort. You learn in a place of test. We learn in a place of test. We learn through pain and discomfort. We learn in the moment of pain. All I hear God saying is, when you are in pain, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, one thing is funny. God is not a vending machine. God is not... Prayer is even not, how will I call it, a paracetamol. The fact that there is a pain going through your body at the moment, and you say because you have prayed about it, Apostle Paul prayed about something, and God said, look, young man, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. Let's always learn. Most of the things I've learned in my life is always in the place of pain and discomfort. You cannot learn in the place of success, because you will be so in seventh heaven. But when you are undergoing something, God is trying to pass a message. Learn it. Find out what it is. In the moment of delay, in the moment of growth, and the moment where God is saying no, keep on praying, trusting God, and expecting a good turnout. Let's look at Isaiah 55 as we begin to round up. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. What does it say? Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. If there's a version in the congregation, you can read it this time. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. As we begin to round up. Yes.
My thoughts.
Yes.
Nothing like yours.
Mm. Yes.
Says the Lord.
Yes.
And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine.
Mm.
Just as heavens are higher than the earth.
Yes.
So my ways are higher than your ways.
Yes.
And my thoughts higher than
yes. Praise the Lord. Can we just begin to understand today that what God has in mind for us is far more greater than what we are thinking for ourselves? You see, the moment you shift away from yourself and you shift on the goodness of God. Let me just say this. The devil, the enemy, is not afraid of our plans. No. All the schemes and strategies that we have, the devil is not afraid of it. The devil is not afraid of our finances because he can actually go in there and do whatever he wants to do with it. Let us know that. The devil is not afraid of our lifestyle because he can bring it to tomorrow. It can be there tomorrow, today. Can bring it down. But do you know what the devil is afraid of? He's afraid of your prayer. The moment you kneel down and pray, the devil is scared. He runs away. He's scared of the prayer of a righteous. He's scared of the prayer of someone that has the heart for God. When God wants to do great things in the world, he motivates people to pray. Revivals have started by prayers. When God wants to move in our nation, when God wants to move in the life of people, he motivates people to pray. When God wants to go through a family with the hand of goodness, he motivates people to in that family to rise up and begin to pray. When God wants to turn around people's situation like he did for Jabez, he moves them, he motivates them to pray. But the motivation is the goodness of God. When you know that God is good, you are motivated to pray. Because it will move away from duty. I have a duty to pray, to delight. Because you know you are going to communicate. Prayer is how we tap into God's revelation, into God's plan, and into His goodness for our life. Prayer is how we tap into the goodness of God for our life. There's a song that I would like us to sing together as we rise and just begin to repent. There's a song that I would like us to sing and listen to before we pray. We'll listen to the song together and then we'll just meditate on the words of the song and then pray together as we begin to round off.
Your peace and love.
I just want us to know that God is a good father. We are who we are to be loved by him. Can we just begin to pray together in our spirit and just say, God, revive my spirit, man, with your goodness. Lord, revive me with your goodness, that I can approach you confidently, that I can approach you confidently, that I can grow up where I need to grow up, that I can understand that you want a relationship for me. God is more concerned about our character, who we turn out to be. He's not concerned about our comfort. That is why we have talked about early in this month, moving out of our comfort zone. God doesn't want us to just stay in a comfort place. He has blessed us to go out. Can you just talk to God, Lord, I approach you in the place of your goodness. Lord, that you will fill me, oh Lord. You will revive my soul, revive my family, revive your church. Lord, with your goodness, revive me. With your goodness, revive me. Lord, you are a good, good father, is who you are. And this is who I am. Lord, you are a good, good father. This is who you are. You don't change. The moment you know the depth of God's goodness, you will be able to experience him in every facet of your life. You'll be able to communicate with him deeper. Can you speak to God, Lord, initiate me in that relationship, that I can speak to you about anything, for anything, by anything. In the name of Jesus, can we just pray? You are a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.